Hey everybody, it's Michelle. I am here to talk to you about our Patreon page. This is the page that you can go to help support our podcast with a monthly donation. When you commit to supporting us, you can get additional bonus content such as extra podcasts, our favorite playlists, our show notes, and eventually we would like to have merchandise to sell like t-shirts and baseball caps, and we would let you have first dibs at those. Of course, because we are coffee moms, we are offering membership levels that are as follows: the coffee membership, the cold brew membership, or the espresso membership. Now, no pressure whatsoever, but if you do love our podcast and you would like to help support it, you can go to patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. That is Patreon, patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. There you can choose a membership level that works for you. Melissa and I want to thank you in advance for your love and your support.
Messy Bun Mamas. I'm Joe.
I'm John.
I am Malcolm.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is the Messy Bun Mamas podcast.
Yay.
Today we are talking about baby proofing, baby safety. I don't know if you know this, but September is baby safety month.
Yeah.
And in honor of that, we're going to
talk about all the things we did do and maybe should have done.
We're also going to laugh at some ridiculous products that I found because seriously, guys.
Seriously.
What is going on? But first, Mama moment of the week.
Mama moment of the week.
Tell me about your mama moment, Michelle.
So my mama moment is, of course, my son. He, this week has been a rough week for us because he's wanting to be a teenager. But if you ask him how old he is, he will say, "I'm five," with like no type of blink in his eye or anything. And if you try to say, "No, you're four, you'll be five in September," he'll like argue, scream with you. Like, he gets mad about it. So we started asking him this week. So when your birthday is in September, how old will you be? And the answer changes. It's actually kind of fun. But one day he was eight. One day he was going to be 10. But yesterday when we asked him how old he was going to be, he said 16. For sure, your attitude says you are 16.
Right.
But you are not. So I don't know. It's just one of those like fun moments, like, where does this come from? Like, his insistence on being older. I mean, I know, like, as a kid, it was exciting to be an older kid. But it's just, where's the switch that makes you want to stop being a kid and like, you want to be one of the older, cool kids?
Right.
Like, you're four. Can you just slow your roll just a little bit?
Well, and I think the hard part that I have with it is it's like, you only get to be a kid for such a small amount of time.
I know.
Just be a kid.
Just be a kid. And it's really actually a struggle for me. I tell Dan, it's kind of funny that he does that, because when we go to parks and stuff, if older kids come into the park, Joe will like gravitate towards them and follow them around and harass them. And like,
Be my friend.
I mean, we went to my niece's graduation party, and he like clamped on to the boys that her boyfriends, not like boyfriends, but
her friends that are
the
boys.
Friends that are boys that came to the her graduation party. And like he followed them around. He was telling them how to play a specific game and he was handing out prizes and awards to them, high-fiving them. And when they gave out cake, it was so cute. I wish I could have gotten a picture, but I could not grab my camera fast enough before he moved. But I went and looked, and he was sitting out on their patio at the table with these three other teenage boys. They're all just sitting there, kind of relaxed, eating their cake. And he's just sitting there eating his cake with them. Aww. And talking and stuff. And I was just like, stop growing up, but you're so cute right now. But like, he wants to be an older kid. He wants to just be seen as one of them. I'm just like, I don't know. Like I said, it's a mixed emotion for me. I'm like, look, you cannot act like you're 16. You're really cute right now. No, you're only 4.
It's true though. Like, I definitely understand the struggle of like, I don't know. I was always that kid who wanted to be older though. So
right. Like, me too. Like, I couldn't wait to like be 12.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't wait to be 16. And then I get it too, because there's like rite of passage things with each of those ages. Right. So, but I don't, for whatever reason, he just wants to be one of the older cool kids, and I'm not ready for that. And I'm not usually that like emotional type of person. Like, when people are like, oh, he's getting so big, aren't you just ready to cry? I'm like, well, you know, I'm both proud and sad, but I'm, you know, I do cry when I have to put like, when I had to put his baby outfits away and stuff, but
I don't know, every year that they get older is the year I like more. I'm not a big baby person. I don't love the baby phase. So the further we can move away from that, I'm all about that life. Listen, no, the pooping, the crying, the I don't know what you want. When moms are like, well, that's their blah 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 cry. I'm like, it just sounds like screaming to me. I don't. That's what it sounds like.
His I want to be held cry sounds a lot like I need my diaper changed cry. Yeah,
it just sounds like screaming
to me. I don't disagree. There's that does all sound the same to me. I don't recognize the difference. And just could you tell me? I mean, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
Listen, I know you're 3 weeks old, but you're going to learn this young, okay? When you need something, you need to look somebody in the eyes and tell them what you need. Just be assertive. Right. This screaming thing ain't working for me.
I'm going to need you to use your words. Right. So tell me about your mama moment.
So my mama moment. So this last week, we had a birthday party for Rayla and Malcolm, since, you know, we're kind of back to normalcy and everything. Mm-hmm. So first birthday party.
It was a fun party too.
And listen, there was probably 15 to 20 kids there who were 7 and under.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guys, there were no meltdowns.
None.
There were no fights. There was no skinned knees. Nobody was teasing anybody. These kids got along. They entertained themselves. They were off wandering about while parents just got to ignore them and pretend like they were their own humans. I was just like, guys, like, I can't tell you how many times I like looked around and I was like, guys, like, we're almost there, guys. That we can just send them outside to play.
Right.
I mean, the level of glee that I had, just, I mean, I don't think I, here's the thing. Okay. My kids are very extra. So it's very rare that we go anywhere and there's not like bickering or fighting or whatever, which is fine. I mean, you know, kids will be kids.
Right.
But like, there were so many of them and they just like got along so well.
Might I add, the men in our lives
right
also had fun.
We had a fantastic play date.
This is why we coordinate these things.
It's true, though. All the people in our lives that we are responsible for,
we have to arrange play dates for.
Yeah. But it was like, it was magical. I'm telling you, I was so just like, you know, when you have those days where you just, the day ends and you go home and you're just like, this was a good day.
I have to say that it must have been very impactful to you because you've actually texted me several times this week. I just can't get over how well behaved everybody was at that party. And I'm like, yeah.
Michelle's just like, yep, everybody was fine.
I mean, I wanted to kill my husband on the way there, but you know.
Okay, listen, Michelle went to the wrong party.
And we had to like work our way around a parade twice because I had the wrong park. So it was my fault that he was upset, but
even still,
he went a little overboard with his anger.
That was funny though.
But no, I don't disagree. That was a good party. And I have to tell you that when we got home, Dan said to me, he said, I made Rayla mad at me. This is like an important thing. Apparently to everyone, she just makes everybody.
Rayla's very particular about who she is friends with.
Right. And so he must have been a little giddy that she wanted to be by him and Joe. So when Malcolm was opening his gifts, he was over at the swings with Joe. And so she wanted him to pick her up and put her on the swing. And he said, I wanted to put her in one of the baby ones, but I couldn't, because of the space between them, he said, I wouldn't be able to push both of them. And I said, well, why don't you just put her on the regular swing? He's like, she's too little. I'm like, have you seen Rayla? He's like, but does she know how to sit? I'm like, well, you just gently push her. He's like, well, no, I chose not to because I didn't want her to fall off and hurt herself. And he said, but she stared at me because I said, well, did you make her cry? Is that why she was crying at one point? And he goes, no. He said, she just ugly stared at me the whole time. That's how you get someone to do what you want, is you just ugly stare at them until they do it. So
she very rarely cries. She'll just stare you down and right. be like, she'll mean mug you.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no.
So it was funny because he's always like, why are you trying to win her approval? I'm like, you get it now, don't you?
Like, but she doesn't give it freely. That's right. Why.
So, yeah, it was a good party.
Yeah. So it was,
you did a good job.
It was, thanks. Listen, I know I did a good job because everybody was so well behaved.
Right. Well, there was like plenty of things to do. And even like when the kids were playing, the adults went over and played volleyball and some of the kids went into the sand pit and were playing and the adults just played around them. I'm like, this is a perfect day. We've had some nice days in Wisconsin, like 70s, nice breeze, sun out. And Melissa makes fun of me because I say, tell John that I think this is a great day, a perfect day.
And John agrees. But no, it was like we were at a park that had like a lot of things for everybody to do. And it was just like, it was nice. It was,
yeah,
it was a nice day. Mm-hmm. So let's get into baby safety.
Baby safety.
So the way that I want to talk about baby safety is like how we deal with babies in our house, babies and toddlers, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how clear it has been in previous podcasts, but my husband is basically, 87-year-old grouchy human who is in the body of a 40-year-old man. So his idea and impression of baby safety items is we don't need that contraption, you silly whippersnapper. I'm not doing that.
You millennial.
Yeah. We used to put our hands on the stove and we were just fine. Little burning is good for you.
Life lessons.
So, that was my kind of, and honestly, guys, sometimes it's just not worth the argument. Oh, fine, whatever. So when John was born, we had outlet covers. That's it. That's all we had in our house was outlet covers. As he grew, the only things that we added in our house were baby gates at the bottom of the stairs. Not because we were worried about him falling, but because we didn't want to have to chase him up the stairs. That's really what it was. We wanted to be able to cage him. So our gates are strategically placed to cage in our tiny humans. And then we got like cabinet door things, like the old school ones that you have to like pull out and like push down a little bit and pull them out. We have it on the cabinet underneath the sink in the kitchen because that's where we have a lot of like chemicals. So that is the extent of our baby proofing three children later.
Right. That's pretty similar to what we have done. We did the cupboards. We also put a gate up, and that's just because, I mean, this should have been a foreshadowing, but Joe just was always a runner and out somewhere where he didn't need to be. And like you said, I just
causing mischief.
I didn't want to be up and down 300 times, like get back here. I mean, cause we have a pretty spacious living room. I mean, do what you need to do here.
You're not wrong.
I don't want to chase you all over this house all day long. Stay here. Like you said, we caged the animal.
Yeah. It works.
So, we did, I, the only one that I really wanted was to have it on the drawers to our silverware.
Okay.
And that's because as he got tall enough to reach into the silverware, and I'm more along the lines of Mike. It's just like, there's, we went to a restaurant one time, and I would say Joe was maybe a year and a half, something like that. And he wanted something to play with. And so I handed him, I scooted across the table my silverware. And of course, what does he pull out?
The knife.
The fork.
Oh.
And he's like waving it around. And like, my husband is gasping. My mom is gasping. This older man, like two tables down, is like, should he have that? And I'm like, you know what? If he pokes his eye, he won't do it again. You know? So
you're not wrong.
I mean, either he'll learn not to poke his eye or he won't have an eye to poke. Whatever. So
either way, a lesson will be learned.
I'm not a terrible mom, I swear. If I had felt uncomfortable with where he was waving it, I would have taken it away from him. So I do want to clarify. He was waving it above his head. It was nowhere near his eye. So I can very much be that person, but I did have trouble because we kept our sharp knives in a drawer. And once he reached, was able to reach it, we would find him walking around the house with a butcher knife, you know. No problem. 2-year-old with a butcher knife in his hands. But
same, we had the same situation over here because we don't have a knife block. We just have our knives like in our drawer with our silverware. And like one day we came down here and like Malcolm had all the knives out. And my mom was like, we were just like, I mean, he's done that a couple times. So we just kind of put him back and we go, don't play with knives.
If he cuts off his finger, there's good surgeons out there. They can sew it back on. So no,
as long as he doesn't stab his brother. self-inflicted lessons.
So, but that was the only one that I really cared for, because at one point we did get the gate in the living room for the living room. I wasn't so worried about him getting into cupboards and things like that.
Yeah.
It's more of a struggle now with him getting into things. And it's not that he tries to drink it or anything, but he likes to make concoctions and do science experiments. And I'd prefer he not like chemical burn us out of the house or something.
So, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like both of us were kind of like a little bit more like
relaxed.
Yeah. You know, our kids have made it.
They're still alive. I mean, yeah.
Not alive. Still alive. However, we're gonna take. Oh, and the other thing that I had that I didn't mention is that we have a whale over our spigot in our bathtub, so they don't hit their head on it.
We did not have that, but I did just think we had the covers over the knobs on the oven.
Okay.
But to be fair, we had that before because the dogs would jump up on the oven, not jump on the oven, but they would like put their feet up. And so because we have a gas stove, Dan was afraid that they would hit the knob somehow and just turn the gas on and then kill it themselves and anybody that might be in the house unaware or sleeping or something. So,
I mean,
so we didn't baby proof our house. We dog proofed our house.
I was gonna say, it sounds like you did more dog proofing than baby proofing.
But that's my husband, like worst case scenario type person. So,
yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go through some of the more like, safety items that are like, are a little extra for me, but that I can kind of understand. And there is one in here, and I'm going to go through it, that I'm shocked Michelle didn't have. I'm going to go through that too. Okay, so the first one is bed rails.
Okay.
So I've never really been a fan of bed rails. I will say that my children fall out of their beds often. Or fall off the couch often.
I didn't even think of this as being a safety measure, but we do have bed rails on Joe's bed.
And it's like a thing, like, people have bought us bed rails. I'm like, I'm not putting this on their bed. And they're just like, they're going to fall. And I'm like, you're right. They will. But
then they'll learn that to fall.
Eventually, that in their sleep, they're going to have to learn that they can't just flop around like a maniac. They're going to have to, like, you know, learn that feeling that you get when you get to the, you have to learn not to roll off the bed.
So here's my thing. Dan bought the bed rails again, worst case scenario, man. Here's my problem with it is that he would not let me have the bunting thing that go around the crib because he could suffocate. But this kid spends so much of his time with his face smashed up against the mesh on the side of that bed rail that I'm like worried, like, what if for some reason he just has his face mashed the wrong way that he couldn't breathe or something.
So you still have the bed rail on now.
Yes. Dan did say, well, maybe we can take it off when he turns 5. I'm like, I don't know. I really hate trying to climb in and out of the bed with those things on. Because once he's asleep, it really makes it difficult.
You can't just slip out of bed.
To gracefully roll out. You can't ninja roll.
Yeah, nope.
You gotta like clunk,
basically stand up to get around the bed rails,
and then he shoots up, I'm not sleeping yet. No, you for sure were.
Go back to sleep. So the thing that I'm shocked that you didn't have is the Owlet Smart Sock baby monitor. Okay, so let me tell you what it does. This brilliant smart sock baby monitor from Owlet will take away any and all worries. It measures your baby's vital statistics while they slumber. It wraps around the baby's foot and it will alert you with light and sounds if something appears to be wrong. You can check the stats from anywhere with an app. So even if you're enjoying a night out, you have the peace of mind that your little one is safe and sound. So it gives you their heart rate, their oxygen level, their, like, how long they're sleeping, what kind of sleep they're getting.
Let me tell you why we didn't have one.
Because she said you should see her face.
I didn't want it. I'm going to be totally honest. It was my husband that's found it and was like, I think we should get this. They're expensive.
They are super expensive.
They're stupid expensive. And I was in several mom groups, and the moms, anytime somebody asked about it, moms that had tried them out were like, it slips off. Mm-hmm. It's not accurate.
You're going to think your baby's dying
if
constantly.
The room is cold, it picks up the temperature of the room versus what's on their feet, and just all kinds of, and they're like, it's really more stress than it is comfort. And I said to him, why are we going to pay this much money for me to not sleep more than what I'm already not sleeping?
Mom groups, you did something good.
Benefited our household, saved us a couple $100.
Well, I have been in mom groups too, where it's like people say like it slips off, it doesn't stick, like it, mm-hmm. it doesn't really work that well. And I'm just like, listen, if I'm gonna spend $600
yeah.
on something, it better be magic.
Right. Yeah. It better be like 100%. I know when my baby is in distress and I need to get them to the ER, like ASAP.
Yeah.
It better not be, I get woke up in the middle of the night and, oh, she just kicked her sock off,
right?
Or he just kicked his sock, or he moved wrong, or his foot's hanging outside the blanket. Yes, I put blankets on my kids. So
you're not wrong though. I mean, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, you don't really, I don't know. And the thing is if I had a high risk baby who had like, I needed to measure their oxygen,
mm-hmm.
I can definitely understand its value, because if it adds any sort of peace of mind, okay, fine. But like to normal Joe Schmo, like.
I almost feel like if they're high risk, though, there's already stuff that's being sent home from the hospital,
yes.
that would be way more accurate than that type of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The third thing that I wanted to go over was corner protectors. Okay.
We did not get these.
We did not get these either. But I will say that my little niece Loretta, she like, oh my gosh, she's so smushy. I just love her so much. She had the biggest head. I swear, her head was so disproportionate to her body.
But you wouldn't know now, looking.
You
at
wouldn't
her.
Know now. No, not now. But when she was a baby, man. Listen, her mom tore, and it, when you looked at that baby, it was not a shock at all that happened. But she, like, because her head was just so big, she, like, perpetually just had bruises on her head from, like, hitting it on things and whatever.
Knocking it.
And it was, like, it was just ridiculous. Like, she had this one spot on her head that just was, like, permanently bruised for, like, 6 months of her life. Like, it, she just kept hitting it. And
she sounds like me.
Right? She's fine now. I guess the reason that we didn't get corner protectors though, like maybe we didn't have a coffee table when the kids were really little. We still don't now, because like we use the room to
it's a lot
circle
of extra,
around
yeah.
and it doesn't really,
I want to get rid of ours.
It, but what value does it add?
Mm-mm, nothing.
Yeah, it, to me, it's just like another place to collect.
To store
clutter.
More junk on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We even, like, we only have one end table. And the only reason the end table's there is so when I'm drinking something, I have somewhere to set it down. That's the only reason we have it.
Yeah, we did not do even like the ones that get it for like the walls and stuff. The kid bangs into it, you know.
Right.
Suck it up. I mean, I learned lots of lessons. And if I wasn't banging myself into something, my mom was for sure banging me into something.
Right.
So, I mean.
Just kind of is what it is. Cause...
Right. And I'm okay. I mean, not perfect, but not, don't need daily assistance to get through life. So.
Right. Exactly. One of the things that I found that I don't know. is bath mats that tell you if the water's too hot. Listen, so we always had, even when the kids were like babies, we always gave them like warmer baths than was recommended. Mm-hmm. But my kids have loved baths since day one and they never cried. And I secretly believe, guys, it's because you guys make the bath water too cold.
I don't disagree with this. I mean, Joe is in a mode right now where he doesn't like baths just because it takes away from his playtime or video time or whatever. But when he was a baby, like baths every day. And I would do my baths warmer. And Dan had actually bought one of those ducks where when it
and
floated,
it says it's too hot.
It was too hot. Yeah.
Always. So I'm not a huge fan of those things because I disagree on the temperature that a bath should be because, again, your kids hated baths. My kids love baths. And I just think that it was because the water wasn't cold.
Right. Warm it up.
So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. So the next thing is anti-UV tents. They're basically sun tents.
Is this for outdoors?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I never use these because I am just under the belief that, like, my kids should get sun.
Can I be honest? I didn't even know they were a thing until the last couple of years.
Oh.
I'm like, how did I make it through the last 4 years of life and not know they were a thing?
We will go to the park or something and people will have their babies in them. And I'm just like, and maybe it's because people are so anti-sunblock now.
Yes.
That might be it, where it wasn't like really a thing.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
I was going to say, because we went to the park a lot and I never remember seeing one of those, but it seems like, especially this year, I've seen them. Maybe, never mind. I'm going to say, maybe it's all that stimulus money people have some extra cash to buy things they wouldn't normally buy. But I have thought the same thing. I'm like, if anything, like, we bought a wagon for Joe and it had the cover top. I mean,
I took mine off because I hated it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a pain.
It's putzy and cumbersome.
And so, but if all else failed, if I knew that we were going to be in the direct sun for a really long time, I would put that up and shade him that way versus carrying along a whole extra tent.
Honestly, we have like hats for the kids sometimes. Mm-hmm. But my kids got sun, and I know that I've talked about it before, but my kids in the summer, they are outside from breakfast time to when I get home from work, they're still outside.
Yeah.
And they come inside to like eat or to take breaks or to go potty. Mm-hmm. But like Mike pretty much has them outside whenever he can.
Yeah.
No matter what the weather is, as long as it's not like raining or blizzarding,
been like the whole last two weeks.
Yeah, they're outside all day, every day, which is why they have to get baths so often, because they're just covered in dirt. I hate it.
Do you know how much joy it brought me to roll up to that birthday party on Sunday? And like all the kids that came running up to our car were like, from waist down, covered in mud. I was like, this makes me so happy right now.
This is my kind of people.
Right.
It's true, though, because it's like, you know, it had rained the day before and it had rained the morning of, and we were at a park and the kids they were covered in mud. And it was like, there were people there who said we should really clean them up. And I'm like, why?
Right.
Why should we do that? They're just going to get covered in mud again.
Right. Yeah. And once that happens and I'm out in public, it's like, whatever. I'm not even going to lie. Joe still hasn't taken a bath since Sunday. Because we gave him a bath Saturday night. And I'm like, I mean, he's covered in marker and paint and dirt and everything else.
All my kids got baths as soon as we came home.
Well, yours were, they were already mud covered, where Joe missed out whatever mud play had happened.
Kids were like legit covered in mud.
Yeah.
Like it was dirt by the time we left that party. Because it had dried. They were just caked in it. Like our tub was like black. It was ridiculous. Like, and normally, judge me, I guess. I don't know. Normally we share bath water between the two younger ones. We'll put one of them in, give them a bath, and then we'll put the other one in. And John takes a shower, so he doesn't right. get in on that. But if he still took baths, like when he was really little, like we use the same bath water for all three kids.
Right.
It's not because we're poor. It's just because it's convenient. It just doesn't make sense to like empty and refill and whatever.
I would do the same.
Listen, they're slabbering and snotting all over each other anyways.
I was gonna say, I think I was 6 or 7 and sharing the bathtub with my brother.
Exactly. So, but yeah, they were dirty. So the next thing I want to talk about, this is actually like kind of a controversial thing, is backpack leashes. I'm really excited to talk about this because I know that everybody's going to be shocked by this, but I have a very strong opinion about backpack leashes. But before we get to my opinion, Michelle, let's hear yours.
Before I had a child that I like to call my runaway, I was very heavily against them. I'm like, how in the world could you leash your kid? It's just the worst thing in the world. But now I have a runner and now I support them.
Okay, but have you ever used them?
I've not bought one or used one yet.
Yet?
But there is the threat. I mean, it could be that I just buy like a body harness and get one of those long retractable leashes so he can go play with his friends. But
put like a tracker on his ankle.
I'm like, and I think I've mentioned it, he has become overly friendly and like tries to climb into people's cars and go home with them. So there is a real concern that he could go home with someone that might not appreciate him as a, well, I don't know. Anyway, I won't go down a dark path. I just prefer to keep him safe. And he is so sociable and kind and sweet that he's just ready to go home with everybody. So retractable leash with a body harness is a possibility for me.
Okay, but Jo will be 5 in September and mm-hmm. she's never actually purchased or used a leash.
No.
Okay. So
I'm not against them, though. I understand people that use them.
I hate when people leash their children. Like, with every fiber of my being. And I will say that my brother and sister-in-law have leashed my nieces. And it has risen every angry fiber of my being when I see it. And the thing is like, it's not, I understand there's different styles of parenting and whatever and blah, 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 blah. But the thing is maybe it's just the kind of kids that we have, because we have boundaries in our backyard where like they don't go past certain points. And we had to teach them that 47 times that we had to stand up and tell them to come back into our yard and smack their butt or whatever to get them to learn the boundary. When we put them on timeout, you know, we had to get up mm-hmm. a bajillion times to put them back in the mm-hmm. timeout, you know, if they were not sitting in the timeout. So to me, it's like, your kids aren't learning boundaries if they're just running around things. And I just think that I don't love watching my nieces be leashed because they're not dogs.
I don't know. I understand where you're coming from, but I also understand we live in a dark world with people that take advantage. And I know from on my own side, the many conversations I've had with Joe, the times I've spanked him. I was going to say something else, but I don't want anybody to call CPS on me. The times that I've smacked his bottom and I mean, screamed, yelled, had nice conversations with him, and he still just
doesn't care.
Wanders off. And we'll have the conversation as we're pulling up to the park. Where do you need to be? Where mommy can see me. Do you leave where mommy can't see you? No, I stay right in. But again, half hour later.
Even still, you still haven't put him on a
no,
leash.
No, I haven't. I haven't. And here's why. Because if he's if he's on a leash, then he's going to be right next to me, talking to me. And the purpose of taking him to the park is that he plays with somebody else. So, no, I just have to keep my eye on him. I mean, I do want him to have freedom, and I do want him to learn those boundaries. And I guess that is why I've just never purchased one, is that, like you said, it just has to be the repetitive behavior. And I don't know, maybe one day I'm going to do a scare thing with him and just have somebody take off with him.
That's mean.
I mean, it would have to be somebody I trust, though. And so then he would never trust that person again. So it's like, I'm like, how do I not get you to want to climb into the backseat of somebody's car?
Right. It's so true. Another thing that I was like kind of offended a little bit when I saw there's this like article that I found that is like mocking baby safety items, and the nose Frida is on there.
What?
And I was like, listen, you don't know good products.
Number one, why is that a baby safety item? Number two, I think over the bulb is the best thing ever.
100%. I was pretty offended by it. I was just like, you don't know good when you see it.
I mean, I'm currently teaching my son to do it to himself.
That would be magic.
So then I don't have to hold him down. He doesn't want to blow his nose. So, I mean, suck the stuff out.
Right. Right. Some of the safety stuff that I've always... Okay, so when I was 19 years old, I worked at Babies R Us for like 2 years or whatever. So like I saw some stuff, guys. Like there was a whole lot of eye rolling that went on. Believe me. One of the things that just I was outraged by were knee pads for crawling babies.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So yeah, knee guards. What's your opinion on knee guards for crawlers?
I mean, I need knee guards now when I'm on the floor, but I'm 45. And when I stand up, I need my knees for the rest of the day. So no, I would never buy knee guards for my kid. I know that I can be extra, like, in the way that I worry.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't buy some of that stuff. Like, I was just thinking, we had the one of the things I forgot to mention was the door handles, the stuff for the door handles. You know who couldn't turn the door handle?
You?
Me. Do you know who could turn the door handle? Joe. And it came to the point where I think he was 2, and he actually was just taking them off. Like, he figured out how to take them off. And I'm like, I'm just throwing these away now. This is pointless for all of us.
There's no reason that I have to deal with the stress of this. This is ridiculous. Another thing that I found that was like, okay, listen, I have a very extra diva child. Okay, so
Rayla, I love you.
Her hair always needs to look a certain way. Her clothes need to look a certain way. Well, there is this thing called a crumb cap, which is basically a full head bib.
Like head to toe. I'm not going to lie. I probably need one of those as an adult.
But seriously, it is ridiculous. Like, really, guys, your kid can get food in their hair. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. This is what I say to people today. And this was actually one of my presentations when I was being reviewed as for a promotion to a team leader, we had to do presentations. And I talked about how you always have to be presentation ready. And I'm like, this is why I always have an extra scarf in my desk drawer, because it never fails when I'm eating. At some point, I'm dropping food on me. So you just need to get some scarves for Ayla. That's another thing. Just if that's what wipes are for.
Right? It's true. Like, their hair cleans up perfectly fine from wipes.
And I will say, I'm getting a little, I don't know if it's lazy or relaxed, but it used to be that as soon as Joe like got dirt on something on his clothes, I would change his clothes, and I was always washing his face and his hands and stuff. And now I'm just like, eh.
Same.
I mean, literally, I would be washing his face every 2 seconds. I'm like, we just wash your face. Why is there dirt on? Why do you have marker? What? Why is that?
Well, Linda hates that the kids' faces are always dirty. And I'm just like, I can't wait till you're a mom and I can judge you. Because listen, right. Do you know how many times a day I would have to clean these kids? And some parents are like more than happy to clean their kids' faces 47 times a day. That is not my life.
No, I have better things. Like, I can read a book. In the time that I would spend,
I can cleaning, watch grass grow.
Right. In the time that I would spend cleaning this kid's face, because literally the minute I turn around, he has something else on his face
and
again.
He hasn't even eaten.
Right. He's got like dirt under his nails. You've not gone outside. Why is there dirt underneath your nails?
Are you storing dirt in the house? You're not wrong. I have thought that multiple times.
What? And I'm not sure if the reason why I was so strict on it when he was younger is just because I was afraid of what others would think, or if I really felt that way. And now I'm just like, I can't keep up with this kid.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. The next safety item that I'm going to mock is called the Kickbee. You can become even more annoying and unpopular than your friends who send the Candy Crush requests with the Kickbee. This belt has a motion sensor that records every time your baby kicks and then updates all your friends on social media that the kick has occurred.
Look, if someone adds me to that group, I'm just going to text you and unfriend you from life. I don't need to know every time your baby kicks.
Right?
I mean,
but not only that, but I feel like as a mom, if you were worried about something happening to your baby and you had something wrapped around your belly that measured the kicks, like, how do you know it's actually picking up on the kicks? How strong does the kick need to be? Like, I can't tell you, I don't remember, like, there were some times that the kids would like kick, 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 but then there were some times that they just did not kick and they just whooshed around in there.
Because I was considered high risk and I had a terrible OBGYN that like would quote terrible statistics to me every time I met with her, I was constantly worried about something happening. And when Joel would get quiet there, and there was one point where I wanted to get one of those fetal heart monitors. And the only thing that kept me from doing it is the reviews that said that it doesn't always pick up. And we even had a doctor's visit where she used one and because of the way he was laying, could not find it. And they had to go get like the ultrasound machine to find him and his heartbeat and watch him move and everything. And like, that was one of the most terrifying moments of my life. So I learned that if I'm feeling worried, drink a can of soda.
Yep. Lay on your left side. You'll wake right up. You're not wrong.
So I agree. If I were to wear something like that, I would become completely obsessive. Like, I'd be checking the data from the day before and everything.
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life.
Yeah. And the final thing that I think is ridiculous, by the way, is called the baby lasso. So basically what it is it goes around your neck and it has loops on the end and it puts your kid's ankles into it. So when you change their diaper, it, in theory, holds them in place. All I picture from this product is there's going to be poop all over me.
This is what I picture. My kid would jerk so hard that I would get a face first experience into whatever was down there.
Or it's just giving them a very good aim of peeing in my face.
Right. I can't duck and weave.
It's so true, though. Like, I saw this and I was like, who thought that was a good idea? That could not have been made by a mom.
And I don't understand why is that. I understand why it's a safety thing, because that was always a concern for Dan, is that with Joe twisting and turning that he would fall off. And I'm like, the floor in his bedroom is carpeted. If he does it in the living room, because we had one of the
This is obviously made for like playpens, changing tables.
Yeah. We had the playpen with the little changing table on top. And like one side is his playpen, and the other side is, you know, a couch like right nearby. Yes, a hardwood floor. But I mean, he fell down the steps twice and still lived. So I think we're all good.
My thing is, we never changed our kids on a changing table. We have always used like the floor, the couch, the car, the trunk, the whatever flat surface is convenient for me. So maybe that's why it wasn't a concern for me for them to fall off. But we just always, if we changed them on the floor, we just plopped down on the floor and, you know, changed them there. I don't think that if they were going to jerk and roll around, that tying this thing around your neck, you know what's going to happen? They're just going to be tangling from your neck.
I have never seen anything like that. I'm astounded that it's actually a thing.
It is.
Like you said, a mom that has changed diapers did not create that.
No, it must have been like a mom knew who was like, you know, it'd be a really good idea is if you did this.
Yeah. Or a man that has never had children or changed a diaper. Someone that has never changed a diaper created that.
Right. All right. So let's go into our recommendations. My recommendation for this week is a movie on Netflix. You have to watch it if you have a little older kids. It's called Mitchells versus the Machines. Okay, listen, guys.
Joe watched it and he loves it.
It is, if you have any semblance of like normal hot mess life in your family,
for you,
this is the movie for you, because you will feel such kindred spirits with this family of ridiculousness. I can't tell you how many times, like, Mike and I were watching the movie with the kids on family movie night, and we were just like looking at each other, and he's like, you know that's us, right? You know that's us.
No, I love that she starts off with like, that's the one where she like kind of dialogues, right? That the one? Yes. I love any type of movie or anything like that where there's like funny, like, this is the way it should be.
Yeah.
And then like, but this is my family. I'm like, yeah. Somebody's following me around.
Like, they're like, we're going to go on a picnic. And then there's this nice sunset, whatever. I'm like, well, actually my family, they're like dragging children. Things are being dropped as you walk through the lawn.
Like out of the park, yeah. Screaming. And
the blanket is not nicely laid down. It's just thrown down.
No, there's one's dirt sitting in the on food. It yet.
Seriously.
Yes.
It is. And I mean, you know, there's robots. They're trying to save the world, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, I'm telling you, it was so hilarious. Like, even we've watched it a couple times, and it's one of the movies that is probably our favorite movie of this year.
Mm-hmm. It's cute.
Above Luca and Raya. Right. Just saying, get it together, Netflix. You did it, guys.
Yeah.
So that's my recommendation.
Thank you for joining us for the Messy Bun Mamas podcast.
If you can't wait to talk to us more, then hit us up on social media. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
You can also reach out to us on our website at www.messybunmamaspodcast.com or email us at messybunmamaspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
I am Messy Bun Mamas.
This is Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
This is Messy Poop.
Messy buns, you silly.